turn with me to Deuteronomy 8:18. Last week we were talking about the memory and begin to talk about how important the memory is, that we not allow our memories to be clogged with thoughts that stops us from moving forward with God. If we don't watch our memory, it'll only keep track of bad things that happen and try to overrule the good things. That's what we talked about, that's why we talked about Abraham, or Abram at the time, before he became Abraham, begin to build altars. So because he was nomadic. So everywhere he traveled and the place he met God, he would build an altar so that when he, because you got to remember now, this is very key. It's very key. Another reason why Abraham built altars is because he didn't have this. He didn't have this. So he had to build altars to remember when he had FaceTime with God, when God spoke to him, when God did something good for him, so that as he traveled, letting his agriculture, all his sheep, cattle, and everything he had grazed, he would always see those altars and remember what God had done for him. And so your memory can either be a tool to help you move forward with God, or it can be a tool to hold you back from moving with God. If you let Satan access your memory, all he would do is build his altars. And his altars are going to be things that make that remind you of challenges you had in your life. But you need to let God build altars in your memory, which reminds you of every time you overcame those challenges. So therefore, see, so that's why sin shouldn't be an altar. Because if sin become an altar in your mind, then when God calls you to do something, you're going to think you're inadequate. That's why you take the blood of Jesus to destroy all those altars. You're not good because of you. You're good because of him. Are you seeing this? So you don't allow those altars to be built in your memory. Any memory that does not help you advance to where God wants you to be needs to be torn down. Every stronghold. I think it's, 2 Corinthians 10? Turn there. We're going to be going to scripture more often, and we're going to come back to Deuteronomy 8:18. 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10. Verse 5. Verse 4. Let's start at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down what?
Imaginations.
When you talk about imaginations, you're talking about not only what you imagine or thoughts that come up, but thoughts that try to linger. Thoughts that try to linger are called memories. Thoughts that, and so watch this, watch me say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that what? Against what? Right? And what are we supposed to do? Unto every thought. So in other words, every thought that lingers becomes a memory. Every memory that's not, that, watch this, that contradicts what God says about who I am, I have to put it in check. How do I put it in check? With the blood of Jesus. This is why, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is why that hyper grace message is so dangerous. It's so dangerous because if you continue to sin, Paul said this. Matter of fact, turn to Hebrews 10th chapter. Paul said this in the 26th verse. If you sin willfully after coming to the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifices. Look, Hebrews 10, 26, what it says. What? What? Because what happens is Satan uses, it's nothing new. Listen to me, people of God, it's nothing new. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate off that tree, listen to me, people, it was not the eating of the fruit that caused the problem. It was the eating of the fruit that God said, don't do. It would cause a problem. And out of the blue, just out of the blue, well, just not out of the blue, but to us it seemed like it, out of the blue, they realized they were naked. Right. Yeah. Who told them that? Matter of fact, God said, who told you that? Right. So all Satan had done was capitalized on a mistake they had made. He was messing with their memory. He was taking something they had done and was bringing them under condemnation. Wow. That's why that hyper grace message is so dangerous, because Satan's weapon against us is who we're not able to be. Because of sin, we're not able to be who God has called us to be. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So that regardless of what we have done, the blood of Jesus makes us righteous. So this is why we have to choose to walk away from sin. Because I don't need no more altars being built in my memories that Satan can remind me of to remind me of how insignificant I am and that how inadequate I am to do what God is asking me to do. Right. It's making sense. So I'm not going to help the devil. I'm not going to help him. I'm renewing my mind every day. So that he can't get those altars, he can't build those altars in my memories to make me feel inadequate that God can't use me. Amen. Are you seeing this? This is why the grace message as it being presented today is so dangerous. Because it puts people in a position to where they are not effective for God. Why are they not effective for God? Because Satan keep messing with them. The only reason why Adam and Eve was not effective, could not continue to be effective for God, is because they began to let other thoughts come in their mind that was triggered by what they had done. If they would have easily just said, God, look, we sorry. What can we do? The man's ego. And why? Where did ego come from? That ego came from Satan taking advantage of something that God has given us. The ego was supposed to give us confidence that we can hear from God. Right. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Yeah. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's what we were supposed to have. Instead, Satan capitalized on our disobedience and turn it to ego, to where we think we can do it on our own. Once he gets us separated, then he bombards us. He bombards us. Then watch this. When he bombards us and we have negative memories and negative thoughts, now we down on ourselves. Then we watch this. Now when we get down on ourselves, it seems like nothing can't work right. And nothing ain't working right. It's not because Satan calling them that right. It's because we dictating how they act. We dictating how things happen. Didn't he say, I give you dominion? Right? You know, Satan can take the dominion from you and use it against you. So this is why we have, this is why your memory is so important. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18. This is a very, very familiar prosperity scripture. But of course, you want to know, you know the word I want to pull out of there. Deuteronomy 8th chapter. This is Moses talking to the people of Israel. He said, but thou shalt what? Remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel, saying, I need you to remember. Remember why you where you are. So if Moses wants them to remember why they are where they are, that must mean their memory has an important place to play in their faith going forward. So if their memories are jacked up, then I ain't got too much good things to remember. So what Moses was saying is, I'm not telling you to remember what you've been through. Remember what you've been through and how you got out. See, they can easily remember the slavery. They can easily remember Egypt. But that ain't what Moses told them to remember. He say, remember the Lord your God, for it is he that give thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. Are you seeing this? So don't remember just what you went through. Right. Remember that you went through it.
Right.
Remember that you went through it. Remember that you didn't stop. You went through it. That's why Abraham built those altars. See, one of the things with, this is why we have to hide the word of God in our heart, in our minds. You know, Apostle told us the other day, we was praying, we pray as a staff every morning. And Apostle, I don't know how many other ones heard him, but Apostle said he was talking to us about praying for wisdom. And he read James 3:17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, it is peaceable, it's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now tell me how I memorize, why I was able to quote that to you. Because he said, I want y'all to memorize this. See, we have to begin to use our memorization to hide the word of God in our heart. That's what the children of Israel had, was memorization. They did not have this. See, today, this is one of the dangers of technology. See, we have this, and we have our phone. So if we figure we need a scripture, we'll go to our phone. But there's something about hiding the word of God in your heart. See, when you hide the word of God in your heart, let's define what heart is. We've done this before. Let's define what the heart is. The heart is a combination of your mind and your spirit. It's so closely related that the only thing it's separated to is the word of God. So the heart is the soul and the spirit closely connected. That consists of the heart. So you have to hide the word in your heart. Now remember what I said last week, that your mind is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. And your spirit is the eyes of the mind into the supernatural. So what you think gonna happen if you begin to hide the word in your heart? How much clearer you think you're going to see? See, so memorization, using your memory, for the benefit of memorizing scriptures, for remembering what God, watch this, go to Mark, the fourth chapter. Let's read verse, let me find the corresponding verse. Mark 4, verse 7. This is Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. See, behold, verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow the word. All right, then you got different grounds that it fell on. What I want to focus on is verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Then if you get to verse 14, Jesus began to break the parable down. He said, the sower soweth the word. And if you get to verse 18, he said, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as, watch this, they hear the word. What verse 19 says? So what it's saying is, if you don't hide the word in your heart, seeds, the word of God that is just carelessly accepted and not hid has no chance to grow and take root. Watch this. It has to be hid so deep that it has to take root that when it grows, it can grow past anything. If you do not hide the word of God in your heart to where, because watch this, you're going to have cares of the world. Are you in this world?
Yes, sir.
Then you're going to have cares.
Yes, sir.
You're going, what it means by cares? Things that try to draw your attention from what God has said to you. Memory. So this, watch this. This is just not talking about the raw word of God. This is also talking about when God has spoken to you personally and given you instructions. When God has told you certain places I want you to be, places I want you, person I want you to be connected to, things I want you to be a part of. When you, a lot of people forget, remember now what I said last week. A tree never chases seasons. Seasons always come to the tree because a tree is supposed to be rooted and planted. But if we're not careful, we let the cares of the world choke what God has said to us. This is why you cannot be weary in well-doing. For in due season, what it says, you'll reap if you faint not. Satan's main objective is to get the cares of the world to choke the life out of you. His main objective is to have so much happening in your life that you get off of what God has said. But when you hide the word of God in your heart, I don't care if you come to your last breath. With your last breath, you're saying, I'm healed by his stripes. When the word of God becomes hid so much into your heart to where you dream. How many of you know a lot of times, you ever had dreams to where you running toward that cliff?
Yeah.
Right? And what you doing when you're running toward that cliff? What you doing? You trying to stop. Or what if you're running from somebody? It seems like you keep slipping like you got all under your feet. Like you keep slipping, right? When you hide the word of God in your heart, so deep, you can dream like Solomon dreamed. In Solomon's dream, God came and asked him, what do you want? I'm going to give you anything you want. And Solomon did not, in his, because we got to remember, go back and read it.
Yeah.
And he was asleep, dreaming. I gave you that example about your dream because a lot of times you sleep, you're not in control of your dreams. You're trying to run. But you just ain't moving. You trying not to jump off that cliff, but you just keep getting closer. Solomon had heard the words of his father so much in his heart that when God in his when God asked Solomon in his unconscious state, "What will I? What would you have me do for you?" He was so word oriented, so God oriented that he said, "God, I just want you to give me wisdom on how to handle your people." Then the Bible says he got up and burnt 1,000 burnt offerings because it was a dream and he wanted to make sure it was going to come true. See, when he, because he had David's words. notice who has said. He had David's words hid in his heart. That's what Proverbs, my son. Wisdom is the principal thing. That was David talking to Solomon. Are you seeing this? So when you hide the word of God in your heart, it causes you to act when you're conscious and when you're unconscious. So when you hide the word of God in your heart, the word of God becomes the governing factor of your behavior. Memory. I like Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is one of my favorite ball players. One I like. I like Tom Brady because I like people who practice their craft with everything in them. My daughter plays fast pitch, and she came to me one time, and I'm getting to a point about memory. She came to me one time. She was going to what's called 4-on-1s during the off season of softball. Coaches are not allowed to practice with the whole team, but they're allowed to do 4-on-1s. So, in other words, 4-on-1s mean you get 4 players to 1 coach. All right. So she was going to 4-on-1. She come home complaining to me, "Dad, we doing these stupid drills." Because, you know, I'm teaching later. She can play the game. So I'm trying. My balancing act is to keep her motivated, becoming better without realizing she good. All right. Because I keep telling Layla, "You might be, but somebody better come along. You got to keep working." So, but anyway, she was doing these drills. She come home complaining, "Daddy, why are we doing this? I know how to do these things already. Why is it?" And then he trying to tell me another way to do it. I don't feel comfortable. I said, "Layla," I said, "what you must understand about the game of fast pitch softball, just as it with basketball, just like with any other sport, you have what's called muscle memory. And the more you do something, you're training that muscle to react without thinking. A lot of shots that Stephen Curry makes is based off muscle memory. He has shot so many shots on the court from so many different places in practice that he can pretty much know where he is without looking at the rim. I've seen slow motion. Have put some shots that he made on slow motion, and you can see his eyes closed. Wow. You can see his eyes closed because he's now operating off of muscle memory. Tom Brady, when you're a quarterback, you have people rushing at you. You got to make split-second decisions. So they ran routes so much, he begins to throw muscle memory. He's throwing to an area because he knows that receiver going to be there. So he's gone without acting. He's able to read defenses and able to, when he say hike, able to react before he thinks. Split-second thoughts causing completions. When you in softball or baseball, there's certain plays on, certain things you do on every play. So you have time in softball and baseball to notice who's on first, who's on third. Okay, where's the shortstop playing? What a third baseman playing? If I'm up the bat and I see the third baseman playing deep and I'm quick, then I already know. I don't need a signal from the coach. I already know I'm laying down a bunt and getting down the first baseline because he can't get to the ball quick enough to get to the base. Right. Muscle memory. Right. You understand? You've done these things over and over and over again. So when you hide the word of God in your heart, it's like muscle memory. Yes. So therefore, when Satan does come with an attack, you don't react like he wants you to react. You react based off muscle memory. Yes, instead of you crying, you begin to shout. Oh. Good. Wow. Instead of you panicking, you get calm. Yes, Because I recognize you, Satan. I know where you at. So now God, now watch this. Watch this. I'm now holding my peace. I'm now holding on to my soul. Luke 21, 19, go there. So now I'm, as Luke 21, 19, I want you to read it. I don't want to quote it, I want you to read it. I can quote it easily, but I want you to read it. Luke 21, 19. The reason why you need to hide the word of God in your heart so that when news come or a situation come that is contrary to what you know is supposed to happen, you can do this scripture. Right? Luke 21, 19. I said it right?
Yes.
What it says?
In your patience,
possess your soul. Oh, that's what it says. In your patience, possess your soul so your mind don't run off with every scenario that could possibly happen. So now in your patience, you grab your mind and said, mind, stay still. God, what do you have to say?
Wow.
Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
When you hide, when you use memorization to hide the word of God in your heart, you're putting yourself in a position to react opposite of what Satan is trying to get out of you. So when Satan cannot get the reaction out of you that he wants, he already knows he's defeated. He already knows he's defeated because now your mind now, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Your mind, because you possessed it, you slowed it down, you're now able to take the time so that you can switch sight. Remember now, your spirit is the eyes of your mind into the supernatural. So when you possess your soul, you shut it down from what it's seeing on the outside so it can see what's on the inside. Because the answer is not on the outside. The answer is on the inside. That can only happen when you have the word of God hid in your heart, memorized. When you have the word of God hid in your heart, the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance what's in your heart and begin to give you instructions based on what's in your heart. He can't give you instructions if ain't nothing there.
Right, right, right.
You see, watch what that's Romans 12. Turn there, Romans 12, 2. Let's read it. I'm in it. We're going to read it over and over in this class, but you understand how important this scripture is. It says what? Be not conformed to this world, but be what? By the what? Renewing of your mind. That means you keep shaping it. That means you keep changing how it's shaped. You're renewing it. That's memory. You keep renewing your mind. Why I got to keep renewing my mind? Because all of us have done it. So let's not be super spiritual. Let's not all be super spiritual. All of us have done it. If you've gone a period of time without reading the Word of God, without meditating the Word of God, quirky things begin to happen in your life. Not just quirky things, quirky thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? So this scripture is telling you, renew. Other words, I got to keep hiding the word of God in my heart so that I can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know, for some people, they run to the church when they're at the last stages of their problem and it's almost too late. Because Satan has bombarded their memory, has bombarded their mind so much that when Jesus said, I come to heal you. Yeah, I hear you saying that, but I don't know if I can wrap my mind around that. Are you seeing that? So Satan has people to a point to where when the word of God comes forth, they can't believe it because it hasn't been hid in their heart. That's why Satan, that's why you get sleepy when you read. I'm being real. That's why you get sleepy when you that what they say, if you ever can't go to sleep at night, what you do? That's why you have to make yourself excited about reading the word of God. I'm coming to meet God. Make yourself excited about praying. Make yourself excited about meeting God. Because if you, watch this, if you don't, the cares of the world will come and choke what God has said to you. See, your memory is more important than you thought it was. See, a lot of times we see that we don't get things accomplished with God. It's not because he's not there. Watch this. It's not because a lot of times we don't believe. It's because a lot of times we haven't let our memory remind us of how much God has done for us. There's a scripture that Apostle texted to us today. Can I even remember? What it was? Yeah, that's what it, 1 Samuel 12:22. I said, turn there. I want you to turn there. 1 Samuel 12:24, right? This one I'm memorizing tonight when I get home. Mm-hmm. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath. If I'm reading this correct, that's talking about your memory, right?
Yeah.
Right? So Samuel is telling me that I need to fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all my heart because I need to consider. Other words, I owe God. Okay, for you super spiritual. He paid it all on the cross. I understand that. That's not the "oh" I'm talking about. I'm talking about the debt of sin. I'm not talking about the debt. I'm talking about the debt of life.
Yeah.
God, you have done so much for me that I refuse to let anybody access me to do anything else on this earth that's not pleasing to you.
Yeah.
All of God, considering all the great things you have done for me, oh, I'm going to fear you. I'm going to trust and serve you with all my heart. Because I remember all the great things you've done. Remember, consider. I can't consider what I don't remember. He said, consider it. So it's impossible for you to sit back and think about everything that God has brought you through and you don't be inspired to do more for him. It is impossible for you to just sit back and think about all the great things that God has done for you and not become inspired to do more for him. All that comes from your memory.
Right.
So I can't let Satan build no altars in my memory. I can't let the jackleg that's been bothering me at work. I can't let that jackleged work bin to affect my memory.
Yeah.
Every time I see her, I can't stand it. Can't stand that heifer. I can't stand her. Every time I see him, I can't stand him. That's memory. So what you're doing now is you're letting your memory dictate your behavior. That's why you have to hide the word of God in your heart so that the word of God can dictate your behavior. Are you seeing this? He said, consider all the wonderful things that he has done for you. This is why I want you to fear him, to respect him. This is why I want you to serve him. You should, after thinking about all the things, you should be ready to serve him. All the wonderful things that, watch this. All the wonderful things that he's done for you that other people don't know he's done for you. The stuff that was in the closet that you ain't know how you were going to fix. But God fixed them. You know, jam that you've been in that nobody understood, nobody knew was around you, all the jam you was in, and all of a sudden, here come God. To come get you out of that jam. And you ain't had to tell nobody. Consider or remember all the wonderful things. You need to memorize that scripture. Matter of fact, I think y'all going to have to write this down for an exam. 1 Samuel 12:24. Memorize that. Because you will, internet, listen to me. You will. You will see that on the exam. You will have to type that out. Matter of fact, you're going to have two exams. You have two. One question is going to be that one. Now watch this. We're going to do this the right way. We're going to do this the right way. I'm going to tell you, I know there's going to be some lies out there. Because we in Bible school, they got some lies. We in training, they got some lies. You got to shut your book on that one. Internet, you hear me? You got to shut your Bible, shut your book on that one. And memorize it. Because guess what? I don't care if you keep your book open or not. That's between you and God. If you lying and nobody see you, God know he can't trust you with nobody watching. 1 Samuel 12:24. Fear the Lord. Y'all have a good night.